If you can just add a few verses from a passage in Revelation chapter 3. Just read Revelation chapter 3, first verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. I'm aware that I have just read some verses from an extremely well-known passage to some extremely well-taught brethren. Now, it's not my intention to attempt any systematic exposition of the letter to Philadelphia. What is on my mind is just to try to bring out one point here, and that is the question of being known, being loved, and being approved by the Lord. We have heard that the Lord knows all those who are His. As soon as someone belongs to Him, there is a special relationship, and the Lord knows him. But what I would like to suggest to you is that this company here in Philadelphia is a company that is known of the Lord in a special way. It is a company that is not only known of the Lord in the sense that they belong to him, but it is a company known of him in the sense that they appreciate him, and he finds something that he can appreciate in them. Now, perhaps just one sentence by way of introduction. Most know all of this, but just to put it into context, Philadelphia was, of course, one of the seven churches in what we would call Turkey today, actually existing at the time. But also, it speaks of a period in church history, which is covered completely in those two chapters, 2 and 3. Now, without going into any detail, we might just mention that you find the church in the beginning and how it lost its first love, Ephesus, the church in persecution, Smyrna, and Pergamos, how the church gets established in the world. You find even the church ruling over the world in Thyatira. And you find Sardis, where there is just a confession left, a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. And then you come to Philadelphia, and finally Laodicea, a place where the Lord says, I don't find anything here that I can approve of. And he has to spew out that which has become a mere profession, and he has to say it's lukewarm. Now the challenge is, if we bear in mind that the last four of these coexist today until the Lord comes, you find a reference to the Lord's coming in each. The question then arises, where are you and where am I? Are we in Thyatira or Sardis? I would not assume that there is anyone here who is there, neither in the church, in the place which claims to be the church, nor in Protestantism that has come out of that which started well in Reformation. Well then, there are two left. There is Philadelphia left and Laodicea. There's a place left where the Lord gives his approval, and there is a place or a condition of heart, you might say, left where the Lord cannot give his approval to anything, where he can just spew out. And perhaps you can just look at some of the details we read here very briefly, but bear in mind this question: am I really known by the Lord in the sense that I am approved by him? And is that really what matters to me? Now let's just look at the first verse we read here. I know thy works. Now you might say the Lord said that to a lot of other meetings, didn't he? And sometimes he even gave a long list of commendable works. In Ephesus, for example. And here, he is very short. He just says, I know thy works. Well, I suggest to you that this is something very special about Philadelphia. They did not need the works to be listed. They did not need other people to know about them. What mattered to them was that one person knew them. And therefore, that's enough. They don't need to be given in detail here. It's sufficient for them when the Lord says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now here you find that the Philadelphians, if you want, just repeat, this is not a denomination, this is not a church, this is a state of heart. It is something, as if we say it occurred in church history, what we mean, of course, is the great revival period, which we were reminded of already, where the Lord worked in different places. Yes, in Dublin, in Ireland, but also in other places at the same time, and he brought about a great revival. But it is possible to show features of that revival today. And one of those features here is, behold, I have set before thee an open door. It's not that they can push a door open, but the Lord gives them some way of outreach. Paul speaks of an open door, and yet there were many adversaries. An open door doesn't mean it's comfortable, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it means the Lord gives an opportunity for the word to go out. And they know that he has given this. No man can shut it. They know that as well. If the Lord enables them to preach the word, if he gives them that opportunity to reach out in some way, no man can hinder. Thou hast a little strength. Now you may say, wasn't that different with what we saw in Galatians? It said that they received the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit worked miracles among them. There was a display of strength. Now in Philadelphia, you don't read of a great strength or a display of power, but the Lord says, thou hast a little strength. A little strength might not be noticed generally in Christendom. You might not attract a lot of attention, But the Lord gives that strength which is necessary for the task that he gives. Now there was something else that the Lord could know and commend and recognize here. Thou hast kept my word and has not denied my name. You know, in Philadelphia, they don't just say we are Orthodox, we believe in the whole Bible. For them, it's a bit more personal. The Lord says, thou hast kept my word. And that's what matters to them. It's his word. And they would not allow anything that detracts from the Lord's glory. Thou hast not denied my name. The name stands for the full revelation of what the Lord Jesus is. And when any of those glories would be under attack, then Philadelphia would not be part of that. They would not deny his name. Now in verse 9, something quite special is announced. It says here, behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, and I now skip half a sentence, to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now what is meant here? The Lord addresses an assembly and he promises something to them. And what he promises is that some would come whom he calls from the synagogue of Satan. And they would do homage and they would have to admit something. Now, who are those people? Well, it says here, they are described as they which say they are Jews but are not. Now, that's the first thing to watch out for. There is a false claim. They say, they claim to be something which they are not. I don't think they claim to be Jews in a literal sense, but they claim to be the people of God, and it is a false claim. Today and yesterday, we looked at a current in Christendom where Christians behaved as if they were Jews, where Christians put themselves under the law. And I suppose here we are not so far away from that. You have people, they are described as claiming that they are Jews but are not. There is a system that is powerful, a system that has a claim, a false pretension, and it is a system that leans towards Judaism. And it appears to me that this meeting, Philadelphia, they were in trouble because of these. There was some resistance, some opposition. But what the Lord says is that opposition will not always remain. What is going to happen is that they will have to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. At the moment, only Philadelphia was conscious of the Lord's love for them. And had you asked someone who had an important position in that system, this, let's call it, pseudo-Jewish system, what they thought of that little company that held much of the Lord's word, about the Lord's word, that did not deny his name, what would they have said? They would never have recognized that that little company in Philadelphia was something that was specially known and appreciated by the Lord Jesus. Yet he says, a day will come when I will make this clear, that those who are despised now, but faithful, that they are those who have my special love. Perhaps sometimes we are more conscious of the reproach, of the opposition. But a verse such as this here can really change our view, and it can direct us to a time when it will become plain, and that helps us to appreciate now that what really matters is not the big system. It's not how many we are. I read the other day about what was called a church, and it claimed to be very fast growing and had 100,000 members. Now, even by Northern Irish standards, that would be big. And anything we might have seen would be minute. But does it matter? I suggest that based on this epistle here, this letter to Philadelphia, what matters is something else. It's whether we are known in the sense of approved by the Lord. And the question for our conscience is that really what matters to us, or is it something else? Now, verse 10, the Lord attaches a promise because they had kept his word, and he would keep them from the hour of temptation. Just in passing, the Christian does not go through the tribulation period. But I just wanted to close with verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The Lord says there is a reward in prospect, but he presents it in such a way that you might think there is still a risk. He says there is this crown, but make sure that nobody can take it. And now, what is it that they had to do to make sure that nobody did? Well, I suppose it's really explained in the first half of the verse. Behold, I come quickly. The Lord presents himself as the coming one. And really, just as his approval mattered to them, so did his coming. Perhaps we have different reasons why we're looking forward to the Lord's coming. There might be someone who is sick. There might be someone who feels the difficulties, perhaps in the family, perhaps in the fellowship. And all of these things will disappear when the Lord Jesus comes. But I suppose there's a better reason even to look forward to the Lord's coming. And that's really because it is the time when we will be with him. And he presents himself here in this way. Now, there are many factors that want to occupy us with other things, that want to sort of push back our expectation, and not to think that the Lord comes quickly, but that it might be quite some time. But the Lord says, make sure that nobody takes thy crown. And I suppose this is another feature of this company in Philadelphia, that they had a real and direct expectation for his coming. Now, having looked just really very, very briefly and at the surface at those features, let's just step back for one second and ask ourselves this question again. What is it that really matters to us in our life? You can first think about your personal life. What is it that really matters? Is it the approval of your friends? Is it the approval of your family? Or is it some other objective which you have? And the same question I'd just like to ask again on a different level, and that is on a collective level. What is it that really matters to us? Again, we can have different objectives. We can have the objective of meeting as often as possible all those who are our friends, whom we love, and whom we have met often. But what would we do if it became clear to us that on this way we did not have the Lord's approval? Would we be true Philadelphians? Would we say, well, Lord, if it is really so that you would give me your approval if I went this way or that way, would we be willing to go it? Now that's, I suppose, a challenging question for everyone, but also I suppose we get an answer in this epistle here. And if you study the reward to the overcomer, and if you see how the Lord really compensates them for every reproach they bear by the special relationship they have with them, I suppose the answer becomes easier. And we'll say, what really matters to us, knowing that the Lord knows us as being His, but once that is the case, what then matters to us is that we are known in the sense of approved and appreciated by Him. And may it be so that the Lord finds something in your heart and in my heart that He can really appreciate.